أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من شر الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الميامين المنتجبين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم كتابه، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم، وإذا أراد الله بقوم سوءا فلا مرد له، وما لهم من دون الله من وال. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله today we are going to continue last night's presentation. Last night's presentation was our responsibilities towards our 12th Imam in this occultation. And the part two is the concept of awaiting the Imam. What type of awaiting we should await the 12th Imam. We mentioned 4 points last night. First of all, in our responsibility is to believe in the existence of the 12th Imam. And all our previous nights and the coming nights will focus on the existence of the Imam. That Imam exists. He did not die. He is living. And we mentioned so many things regarding this issue. So now, at this point, we need to be convinced with our hearts that Imam exists. We mentioned religious evidences, the Quranic evidences. We mentioned ahadith. We mentioned historical evidences about his existence in minor occultation and major occultation. And also we mentioned the logical evidences that there has to be someone who is maintaining the peace on the earth. Even if he is not in front of our eyes, he has to exist behind the curtains as long as, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept an evil entity. It cannot be, I mean, it's not fair for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not provide a justice entity, an entity of good. So shaitan is there. So if shaitan is there, we need to have a balance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, adl. So from just of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there needs to be on the other side somebody representing good. So, and that good is either a prophet or either an imam or successor. And in our time, this entity or this person who represents the good must be the 12th Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Because the histories, they indicate. So the concept of existence of someone who is maintaining the balance on the other side, providing the good, taking care of the earth, these kind of things are very important to understand, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps someone on the side of evil, then He has to keep someone on the side of good also. So these are the things. So we have to believe in the Imam, number one. This is the point number one, which is divided into several things. We have to believe in His Imamat. We believe in the Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. We believe that He is Imam also. We have to believe in His leadership. We believe that He is the leader. He is our leader. He is our authority. And we have to believe in His authority also. Leader means He has an authority. That means if He commands us, we have to implement. This commanding concept or obeying, obedience, concept of obedience is from the Holy Quran. أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ Obey Allah. وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ And obey the messenger. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ those who have this power of amr. We mentioned several times, innama amruhu, his amr is nothing but إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. So whoever possesses this power of knowledge, power of miracle, all these kind of things, then you have to obey him. You have to obey him. So obedience comes from this ayatul ita'ah. أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ, obey Allah, وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ. And see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ, then he puts wow, and وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ, and there's a word also, and obey the messenger. But look at this, this connection between the messenger and the waliyul amr, messenger and the successor. There is no gap in between them. Between Allah and the messenger, there is gap. Of course, we know that authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more vast. It's an absolute authority. Then from authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes the authority of the Prophet. So authority of the Messenger of Allah is not 100%, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's authority and command is very wide, it's absolute. But the Prophet's command is still limited. And the Prophet's command and the Waliyul Amr's command, the successor's command, is similar. There is no gap in between obeying the messenger and obeying the wali al-amr. Look at the technical wording of the ayat. Obey Allah and obey the messenger and the one who has the amr. There is no and obey the one who has the wa ati'u wali al-amr wa ati'u ulil. No, ati'u Allah wa ati'u. There's a wa ati'u between Allah and messenger. Wa ati'u Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. So there is a strong connection between the messenger. Why? Because people say, oh, this is the Prophet and this is the Imam. You know, his authority is... No. Imam's authority is as same as the messenger's authority. The only difference is the messenger carries the prophethood and Imam does not carry the prophethood. Imam continues the prophethood or the mission of the prophethood, but he is not a prophet. There may be Imam who is prophet also. There may be Prophet who is Imam or Messenger. But when it came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prophethood ended. That's why the Prophet said that, O Ali, you are to me like Harun to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But there is no Messenger after me. There is no Prophet after me. Ya Ali, anta minni bimanzilati Harun min Musa. إلا أنه لا نبي بعد. There is no prophet after me. Otherwise, you qualify to be a prophet. But since the prophethood has ended, so the Imam Ali is not less than the prophet in his rank. It is this terminology, this technical term, had to end with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why he's not the prophet. So many people, they find it difficult. Oh, why do you say Imam Ali is better than Prophet Sulaiman or Prophet Dawood, or he's like not like Prophet Ibrahim? No, Imam Ali, if there was prophethood after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would have been prophet. Now, mark my words clearly. I'm telling you, he would have, but he is not the prophet, because many ignorance and extreme from you know who, you know which side. Oh, Shias are saying that Ali ibn Abi Talib is a prophet. Oh, Shias are saying that Ali ibn Abi Talib, Jibreel, he was going to come to the Prophet and he lost his way and went to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Come on, we don't say like that. It is mentioned in the books of School of Companion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whenever Jibreel was late, I thought that he went to Umar ibn al-Khattab's house. This is not us. This is clearly mentioned in the books of companion. So we are not the one who says that. And then when they say that, when Shias, some of those ignorants who don't know what Shias are, they say when the Shias, they say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, they say, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin. That means the trustworthy betrayed, the trustworthy betrayed. That means Jibreel was supposed to bring the Quran on Ali ibn Abi Talib. He betrayed the trust of Allah and went into to Muhammad. What kind of nonsense is this? Who is Jibreel? I mean, if Jibreel made mistake, Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow that to happen? Come on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, La يَعْصُونَ Allah amra. These messengers, these angels, they never ever make any mistakes. They never ever go against the command of Allah. What kind of nonsense is this? What kind of nonsense? Really it's a nonsense. And come on, find something, you know, maybe it's a genuine fabrication. Even fabrication, these people are not able to do a proper fabrication. I wish that they could learn from their predecessors of somehow to make a nice, genuine fabrication. But even in fabrication, they fail. That's really something which is completely absurd. That khana al-amin, the trustworthy betrayed the trustworthy. No, we say Allahu Akbar. That's why whenever you are in front of some of the Sunnis, maybe some Sunni brothers, they heard these kind of things. So say loudly, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Let them know that God is great. Not Ali ibn Abi Talib, not Omar, not Muhammad. No, nobody is great except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why, you know, we say that it is very important to understand the concept of imamat. Imamat is connection with the nubuwwat. And again I say, Ali ibn Abi Talib's rank is not less than the rank of the Prophet. The title is not given to him because the prophethood ended. That does not mean. The hadith mentioned the school of companions. Ulama'u ummati ka'anbiya ibn Israel. The scholars of my nations are like prophets of Bani Israel. Scholars, ulama, like those maraji', like mujtahid. Their rank is like the prophet. What is the rank of the teachers of those scholars? Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. If the alim, if like Salman al-Farisi, Abu Dharn al-Ghufari, they are like the anbiya. What will you say about their teacher? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. He has to be above the anbiya. At least, you know, he has to be at least like the messengers, like the rusul. But anyhow, the authority also comes from the Yawm al-Ghadir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't I have the authority upon you and your souls? قَالُوا بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَلَسْتُ أَوْلَى بِكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ If I command you on your soul, on your life, will you not obey me? بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Yes, yes, indeed, O Messenger of Allah. قَالَ أَلَا فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَاهِ Then listen to me. If I have the authority of someone amongst you, then Ali has the same authority. فَعَلِيٌ مَوْلَاهِ He did not say Ali has lesser authority. He did not say Ali has partial. He says, no, equally, the authority which I possess upon you, Ali has the same authority. So when we believe in the 12th Imam, we have to believe in his authority. As same as the authority of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam. As same as the authority of Imam Ali al-Hadi, Imam Muhammad al-Jawad, Imam Ali al-Rida, Imam Musa al-Kadhim, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Hussein, Imam Hassan, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So the authority of Imam, 12th Imam is linked. It is as same as the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So if the Imam comes and asks to ask me something, I have to obey him. I have to, as I obey the Messenger of Allah, as I obey Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is one of the important things we have. We don't believe, oh, I believe in the 12th Imam. No, believe in him, his imamat, his leadership, his authority, and believe that his authority is as the authority of Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was point number one. Point number two we mentioned, we have to fulfill our duties and responsibilities. If you want to support the Imam, do your wajibat, avoid haram things, forbidden things, and if you fall into the sins, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, repent, before the report goes to the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. And then we mentioned the last point was waiting for the Imam. Today we are going to continue that point. The waiting of the Imam. There are two types of waiting. There are some scholars, very few, they said, do nothing. Just wait. Literally, It is a definition of waiting. Like, for example, you put a dish of fish and rice in microwave, you know, and you turn on the heat, whatever. What are you going to do? Are you going to eat while it's being cooked? No. You're going to wait. Do nothing. Let the fish be being cooked, you know. Wait. Do nothing. Don't mess up with that dish. So, while it's done, then your waiting has ended. This is one of the types of waiting which is called negative waiting or passive waiting. You don't do anything. You're passive. No activity. Is this waiting which is required or no? Active waiting. Active waiting means, that means somebody is coming, arriving to, today inshallah to in Detroit. He's going to arrive. You are waiting. What type of waiting you will wait? He's your guest. What you will do, you will go and pick him up from the airport. You will prepare your house. You'll prepare a room. You'll prepare all this preparation you will do. So this is a second type of waiting where you are active in it. This is called active waiting. So for the 12th Imam, which type of waiting should we wait? The passive, which is waiting also, or the active, the microwave one, or the guest coming to Detroit, Michigan? Let's see. First of all, those who said that we have to wait passive, that means do nothing, just wait, don't do anything, don't speak, just do your salat and all this thing and don't you get involved, nothing, it's not your time, it's not our dunya, just wait. From where did they get this? They got this from a hadith which is mentioned in Usul al-Kafi. It says that whoever tries to rise in the time of occultation is as same as that baby bird who is trying to fly and falls down. Who's trying to fly and falls down. They took this hadith and they said, we cannot. We are all in the time of occultation. If we try to rise, if we try to improve our society, our community, we are not going to succeed. So hell, why to waste time? You know, just sit down and until the imam comes, he'll take care of his duty and then we'll help him. This is a type of waiting, which is based on some of these ahadith. This is not the waiting which we are required for. This is a negative waiting and this is condemned waiting. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, before I mention this ayat, first of all, when the imam will come, what is he trying to do? What will he do? Will he come to benefit himself? No way. He's going to come to benefit us. What are the benefits we are going to get from the coming of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam? The benefits which we are going to get is peace, justice, security, safety, no headache, no hassle, no nothing, no trouble, no problem. He's going to provide us a safe, security, a secure environment where we will have freedom of religion. Well, we will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any worries, without going into that situation. You freely worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely without any fear. So that kind of environment requires a lot of work. Requires for you to prepare for that environment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is that. If that environment is a benefit for me, I have to work for that environment. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not or will not change whatever is in the people or the status of the people حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسٍ, until they change from themselves. They start from themselves. So, Imam is going to bring a change. In order to have that change, we have to start working for that change. I'm not telling you go and blow and all these kind of things. These are nonsense things. These are ignorance, they do these kind of things. What I'm trying to say is, we have to prepare by education, by working for the peace, by working for the justice, all these kind of things. We have to participate. We have to, true peace and true justice, not the manipulated peace and justice. No. For true peace, true justice, the akhlaq, the friendliness, all these kind of things. We have to prepare. We have to educate the people. The education is very important. So we have to do something. We have to start the change. The change has to start from us to let the Imam come and carry on. If we don't start the change, Imam is not going to come. And more pain, more agony, more tyranny, more problems, more injustice, it's going to rise and rise and rise. So in order to bring Imam, alayhi salatu wasalam, we have to build the foundation and tell them, Imam, we are trying our best, we are doing whatever, but we cannot complete. So please come. Then he comes and helps you. But if you don't do anything, you don't even start building that foundation, then you Imam is not going to come. That's for sure. Because this is this taghir, this change is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam is representing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam is the representative. Imam is the successor. Imam is the khalifa of Allah on the earth. So if any change Imam will bring, it is through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is through Allah's command. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commanding the Imam, go on, make the change. But when Allah will give him the permission? When we are ready, when we have started. This is a very important ayat. So that means that hadith about the bird, the baby bird trying to fly and falling down, if that hadith is authentic, if, then we have to take it as a metaphorical, take a metaphorical indication out of it. That means when the baby bird, which is trying to fly, when it falls down, does the baby bird give up? Okay, I'm not never going to fly. No. He keeps trying and trying and trying until he flies. So if we fall and fall and fall, we have to keep trying and trying and trying until we fly with our Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the, if that hadith is correct, we cannot take it as negative. We have to take positive, which does not contradict with the meaning of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change any nation unless they start from themselves, unless they change from themselves. Battle of Badr. These people, they wanted the change. These enemies, they come, they want to wipe out the Muslims. The Muslims, they defended. They did not have enough force. They had sticks and those premature weapons, ropes and all these kind of things, you know. They have few swords. So what was with them? They had the faith. They had the insistence. They had they wanted to have this change. They wanted to continue the change. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them with the change. What happened in Battle of Uhud? It's another example. There were people, they disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet told them, don't move from your stations. They moved from their stations. So when they disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happened? They were defeated. When they did not continue to listen to the Prophet, the obedience, they got defeated. So that is the thing that we have to understand. The change needs to start from us to get that big change. If we don't start, then will people do that? No, most of the people will not. But few people who will start. Imam doesn't need millions of people. Millions or gazillions or two, he wants everybody to change. But the factor or the foundation, does he want everybody? He knows that not everybody will start the change, but he needs at least few people, like those people who were in Battle of Badr, those 313. At least if there are these few numbers who are really willing for the change, and they have changed themselves, then he will come. So we all have to strive to make that change and be one of those 313, or in another narration, 10,000. We have to try to be one of those which will bring the Imam to us and help us out. So this is the waiting with the passive. Is the passive waiting is condemned in this case, the microwave waiting? No. The waiting which we are waiting, our Imam is going to arrive. And he's going to arrive in the airport of appearance. And we have to receive him. We have to prepare our houses, means our souls, our nafs. We have to clean our nafs so that Imam will come and visit us, you know, because we have cleaned our nafs. So this is the waiting we Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. Let's see, I will mention 10 points quickly, because these are all lengthy points, but we are going to just try to understand, and you can do further investigations and tell other people about these points in your lectures, presentations, jalsat, sahrat, you know, about what are these 10 points which we are supposed to do, which will bring Imam to us soon as possible, as they say, ASAP, as soon as possible. Number one, this is the waiting. If you are waiting, then the active waiting requires implementing the responsibilities and duties. Ada'ul wajibat, our salat, zakat. Yesterday, the same point we mentioned in our responsibility, it is also a part of your waiting also. Your waiting required, because you want to change. That means you have to start from yourself. That environment will be environment where you will be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely. So start worshipping from now. Tell the Imam that, my master, I am trying my best to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am looking for that environment where I can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a best way. So please do come. So you have to start worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your wajibat, and avoid from the haram. We mentioned this point, I'll not continue. Number two, ethics and morals. Akhlaq. You are waiting for the Imam, have patience. Have patience, have moral, have ethics. This ego, try to get rid of this ego. We all have it. I have also. I mean, and it's bothering me a lot. We all have this test. It's a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to control our egos. So what this ego, even look at this ego, you cannot get rid of it. It comes, you let it go, it comes back. It's like that fly, you know, and you have sugar on yourself. It will not leave you, you know, especially that filthy fly which is like an annoying fly. So this kind of ego is there. It's annoying, but it's there. You have to try to control it and not let it control you. If you control your ego, alhamdulillah, you will have best of akhlaq. If not, then you will not have good akhlaq. So let your akal control your ego. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let God control your ego. Even look at the word. God is G-O-D. Ego is E-G-O. So there is G-O in both of the words. But in God there is D. And in ego there is E. And always D comes before E. So let God come above your ego. So it's very important. We all have it. And it's a dangerous situation. If we control our ego, subhanallah, everything will be easier for us. And this is our test on the earth. So do not give up. So this ego lets you be rude, lets you become angry, lets you curse people, not get along with people. All this is because of this ego. If we control our ego, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you observe nice akhlaq in between people, and people say, oh, these are the Shi'at of Ja'far al-Sadiq, these are the followers of Ja'far al-Sadiq. He says, when I am praised through my followers and through the attitudes of my followers and behaviors of my followers and akhlaq of my followers, that makes me happy. فَإِنَّوْ يَسُرُّنِي. It makes the Imam happy. Let's make our Imam happy by having Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. I mention every time, it's very important. Imam says, you don't need to tell people, oh, Shi'ata mil mu'mineen, become Shi'a. No. Invite people. Because everybody speaks. The Christian, they speak. The Jewish, they speak. The Sunnis, they speak. Everybody speaks. Followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, they need to speak less and they need to walk the talk. They need to walk more. كُونُوا دُعَاةً لَنَا صَامِتِينَ. Invite people towards us, but with silence. That means with akhlaq, with attitude. كُونُوا دُعَاةً لَنَا بِغَيْرِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. Invite people towards us, but without your tongue. Focus more on akhlaq, more on behavior, more on attitude. This is very important, that when people, they say, oh, this person is nice, this person doesn't steal, this person does not drink alcohol, this person doesn't talk bad, and he's observing. Many times, non-Muslims, when I sit with them, they say, many times we see the Muslims, we love their attitudes, we love their behavior, you know, because they haven't seen the other types of Muslims, you know, unfortunately. So, but this is, the people, they know, they want to know, what is your religion? which allows you to control your ego, control your desire, not to fall into desire. When it comes to fast in the holy month of Ramadan, when Christians they ask you, if you tell them this helps us control our desires. So that means we will not commit haram if out of the holy month of Ramadan, if I am under the temptation of the sexual desires or wrong sex or wrong food, something, I know that in the holy month of Ramadan, I was able to abstain. Heck, why cannot I abstain now? You know? So if I can abstain in the holy month of Ramadan, I can abstain out of the holy month of Ramadan. So it's a training school for us. Every year, we learn how to control our desires. So they get astonished with this. So they say, we wish we had something like that. I tell them, well, you're most welcome. You know, the doors are open. You can always embrace Islam. So this is the thing that we have to observe our akhlaq. Preparation. We have to, like many of the Shabab, they say, Sheikhna, I have a sword. They're in Middle East. Some of the youth, they say, Sheikhna, I have this shotgun or Kalashnikov or this. Come on, Imam does not need that. Those things. People in Battle of Badr, they had sticks and ropes. You don't need to have Kalashnikov or those kind of things so that, oh, I'm prepared. No. Maybe this Kalashnikov will be used against you. What Imam needs is preparation of your soul, of yourself, the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means when the time comes and people, they will attack you, if you have this faith, and of course you have some training also beside that, those are the causes. But your faith is very, very important, most important component. Those people in Badr and Hunayn, they did not have any kind of those kind of strong weapons. But they had this faith. And they were, remember the story of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam? Jalut, Goliath, the warrior with the sword and armor and everything, and he comes with his might. Prophet Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, with those 7 stones, was able to defeat this mighty giant. 7. Why? Because he had faith. He didn't have the sword or laser gun or what. No, he had faith. So if you have faith, you can have everything. So this is the thing. Prepare your faith. Prepare yourself. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَمَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّةِ. Everybody amongst you is shepherd and responsible of his herds. الْإِمَامُ رَاعٍ. The leader of the community is responsible for his community. That means prepare your community. Teach them. Educate them. The family member, household of the in charge in the family, he is responsible. The father is responsible for his children. The father is responsible for his family. The husband for his wife. Everyone is responsible. We all have responsibility to prepare. Prepare yourself. Prepare your family. Prepare your community. This is a very important thing. We have to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. What does preparation mean? That means when Imam comes and tells me, follow me, I have to. That means I'm prepared. You say, no, I'm prepared. You know, and when Imam comes, okay, follow me. No, Imam, you came so early. Why now? I haven't finished my game. There's a soccer going on. And Iraq and Lebanon, they're playing a strong match. And we want to, Imam, come later on. This is a very important match for us. This is not preparation. If we are putting too much time, wasting time in things which are not going to benefit our community, then this is not a preparation. We are wasting a lot of time in so many things, especially these time-wasting sahrat, regardless of argila, without argila, these sahrat are killers. Those people who waste time in sahrat, just repeated topics. I have attended some of the Sahrat. Repeated topics. This happened. This is the leader. This is that. This is this. Everything is repeated. Come on, guys. Do something. Your energy. Do something. Benefit your community. Benefit you. Prepare. Do some du'as in the holy night of Shahr Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. This is completely not acceptable. In the nights of holy month of Ramadan, our Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, they have left us treasures and treasures of du'as. Sheikhna, we cannot understand this Arabic du'as. That's fine. There are translations now. There are translations, the interpretations of du'as in English. Try, get the CDs everywhere. Sheikh Bilal is here. He can help you with some of those CDs. We have nice, beautiful du'as recorded with the translation in English and in Arabic. So you learn something, connect your soul with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sitting in these places, sahrat, without educating yourself, without benefiting from this precious time of precious nights of the holy month of Ramadan, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. لَيَالِيهِ أَفْضَلُ الْلَيَالِي. The nights of this holy month are the best of these nights. And we waste this best of these nights. Imagine if you really believe in this and you don't do something, that means you are crazy. You need to see a shrink immediately. Why? Because if you are a businessman and a business opportunity comes to you, nice profits and nice benefits, you will go for it. If you don't take that opportunity, you will have to go and see the shrink because there's a problem in your mind. The same thing is with us. We have this month of opportunity, nights of opportunity, and we waste. This is, we need to see a shrink. We were not benefiting. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking in general. I know amongst you, mashallah, many of you, may Allah bless you, mention me in your du'as. I may be talking about myself also. I may be wasting time also. So I need to educate myself, you know. So we all need to learn to use the best of these best beautiful nights of the holy month of Ramadan. We are guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you are a guest in somebody's house, you know, and instead of talking to the host and communicating, you guys are having side conversation. How will the host feel? Or if you are a guest and the host starts to communicate, how will you feel that he invited us and ignored us? So Allah has invited us in this holy month. شُهْرُ رَبَّ دُعِيتُمْ فِيهِ إِلَىٰ ضِيَافَةِ اللَّهِ. You have been invited to become guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hospitality of Allah. Imagine you are guest of Allah. Instead of talking to Allah, reciting the du'as, communicating with Allah, you are talking to those waste time-wasting things. Imagine what kind of rudeness this is. When you go to the Mr. President or some dunyawi feature or something, you will sit like that and you will listen to his word. Or if you are asked, you will talk. But when it comes to Allah, how neglectful we are when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in this holy night, the beautiful nights of the holy month of Ramadan. So, and then we have, this is the preparation. We have to prepare ourselves. That means when Imam comes, we are ready, O Master. We are ready to obey you. لبيك يا داعي الله. لبيك, O the one who calls towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last point, and tomorrow inshallah we'll continue. We have 10 points. We have only taken 5 points. The Islamic unity. Islamic unity is very important. And I have been speaking about this every frequently. You know, we can agree to disagree. I'll just give you a few examples of Islamic unity we practice. And when we are in our hometown, we forget it. All of those who you have been to Hajj pilgrimage. And inshallah, those who have not been, inshallah, you'll go and you'll see. Behind Maqam Ibrahim, we pray 2 rakat salat of tawaf. After we do circumambulation around the Kaaba, we pray 2 rakat. What happens, you will see groups and clusters of followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, they make sometimes circle and they for their groups and they pray. You are like doing tawaf alone, you know, you don't know what to do, you are trying to find a spot, you see, and you ask them, they will open the circle. Bifarmai, Haji Agha, please do come, tfaddal, you know, please come in. They will invite you. Will they stop you? No. Who are you, Usuli or Ikhbari? Let us know first before you enter our circle. Are you following Marja Fulan? What are you? Please let us know. No. You just see your brother in wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. You open the circle. This is Islamic unity. You ignore those differences of marja'iyat and usuli al-Ikhbari taqdeer. You see a Shia who say, Ashhadu anna aliyan waliullah. I bear witness that Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali is my authority, appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You open the circle. Many places we practice Islamic unity. But when we come to our hometown, we forget all those lessons, nice, beautiful events. Let me ask you, and I'm done. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the death on the path of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. If we die after Ba'd Umrin Tawil, may Allah lengthen our lives, on the path of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, The angel, when they come and they ask you questions and answers in the grave, what do they ask you? Who's your God? My marja. Who's your messenger? My marja. Who's your imam? My marja. What's your salah? My marja. No, nobody. If you do like that, you're going to go to hell immediately. No. They ask you, who's your God? Allah. A common element. Then who's your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Another common element. Who's your imam? My marja. No. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. And they open the door of paradise. They will not ask you who your taqlid or marja is inside the grave. This is your responsibility in this world to fulfill your law, to take the laws of your religion, religious laws, and also to acknowledge the leadership in this world. Other than that, they will not ask you. Amir al-Mu'mineen, and that's it. So if in the grave, we are not going to be asked about these details, why are we making hell on the face of the earth? By creating divisions. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the inspiration to embrace our brothers and sisters, not sisters, with sisters, brothers and brothers, I'm sorry. I mean, embrace metaphysically. So, brothers and sisters who share a common goal, common element, wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. How beautiful this wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, authority of Imam Ali is, that it should glue us together, not disunite us. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us united under the flag of the wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the appearance of our 12th imam soon. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us among the loyal and sincere supporters of our beloved 12th imam in his occultation and after his appearance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all our marhumin who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this month a month of peace, prosperity, dignity, and filled with spirituality for all the Muslims around the world and for every peaceful human being. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all our deeds and fasting and forgive all our sins and shortcoming. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.